Welcome to the Inspired Business Leaders Podcast, brought to you by Inspire Wealth, bringing you interviews with top business professionals, empowering you to understand our current business climate and the successes and struggles other business professionals have overcome. Here's your host, Nick Boer.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Inspired Business Leaders Podcast. Today I have with us April Likens, who I'm really excited to talk about. She's, as a lot of us know, Inspire Wealth is my primary company, which is a full service financial planning company. And what a lot of people don't always realize is how financial planning and finances can also really interject or relate to wellness. So April is a wellness coach, and how to help you manage stress and how to help you lower your stress and just be happier in your day-to-day life. So April, welcome to the show. I'm excited to have you.
Thanks so much, Nick. Yeah, I'm looking forward to our conversation today. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for being here. So let's start with, tell us a little bit about yourself and, kind of what you do and how you work with clients and how your entrepreneurial journey began.
Yeah, absolutely. So first, I live in Virginia with my family in the Blue Ridge Mountains. So it's really beautiful here, especially this time of year. I love fall. Was here for most of my life. I'm a board certified health coach, really just that helps busy and overwhelmed high achievers reduce their stress, like you said, find balance, prevent burnout, which is rampant these days, and increase their joy. And so I work with clients one-on-one, really just to identify areas that they feel stuck in their life, identify any hidden stressors. I find that often we've all got these hidden stressors that we're not always aware of. And so it can be helpful to have another set of eyes to kind of see if there are any blind spots. And then together we just work together on creating a plan to really build their resilience so that they can just feel their best inside and out.
Yeah, that's great. I think that's so important today in today's world. And I don't think it's just COVID that we went through. I think it's more of, there's a lot more, especially whether you're an entrepreneur, whether you're a business owner, whether you're an executive, it's a lot more, what's the word I want to use? A lot more, it's just a lot more required of your day-to-day job and your day-to-day life than maybe things might have looked like 15, 20 years ago, where demanding, I couldn't think of the word. A lot of jobs and careers are just a lot more demanding than they used to be. And you're absolutely right. Burnout has become a lot more common. I mean, I've seen, even in my own practice, so many clients that, once they've done something and they're an executive or they're a corporate high, middle management and above, they get, 20 years in, 25 years in, they're in their mid to late 40s or even approaching 50, and they're just looking at me and like, how do I do something else? Like, I can't do this anymore. And I don't, financially, I don't want it to impact me, but I got to find something else I can do that I have more fulfillment and more work-life balance.
Yeah, I think you hit on something really important, and it's something that I talk about often, but I joke about too. It's like, I wish we could go back to the 90s, when life was simpler and people could not get a hold of you in 50,000 different ways. And I think it's that constant multitasking, switching, between Slack and email and text messages and apps and all the things, that are bombarding us day in and day out that's part of the problem of burnout. And then there's also this misconception that burnout is this syndrome that just happens to you, when in reality, burnout is kind of a series of small things stacking up over time. It's not saying no, it's workaholism, it's perfectionism, it's not taking your lunch break, it's not taking vacation, it's too much multitasking. There's lots of little things that can stack up over time to where you finally do feel just that you've reached this breaking point and burnout kind of hits.
It's interesting because I'm listening to you say and multitasking and email and text, and I'm like, oh, okay, it sounds like you're talking about me, because my wife jokes about it all the time. I mean, look, I love my wife to death, but that she's been, you know, she's been really a godsend with the kids and everything all these years. And there's just some things with my business she doesn't always get. She understands, mm-hmm. but she's like, you know, like there'll be times at 9 p.m. like I'll be either sending an email or, you know, just something. And she'll be like, what are you doing? And I'm like, oh, I'm sending an email. At 9 o'clock at night? Yeah, because if I don't, I'm not going to have time to do it during business hours. And it takes me 2 minutes. And then I'm done. Yeah. You know, I had a client text me at 7 a.m. last week. And I'm texting her back. You know, she's in my age demographic, you know, has teenagers and, you know, runs a business as well as has a full-time job. And like we talk about, trying to get to the point in the next 5 years to be able to walk away from her corporate job and be able to just do her full-time business that she's growing right now. So it's interesting because, you know, my wife looks at me and she's like, what are you doing? And I'm like, oh, I'm texting a client. Client texted me. At 7 a.m.? I'm like, yes. And sometimes my wife will be like, well, what, you know, why don't you text them in a little bit when you get? I'm like, because it's sitting right here and then it's off my to-do list. I don't have to worry about it. Like, literally, it took 5 or 10 minutes of my morning and I'm done.
Yeah.
So it's interesting. So.
It is, you know, and interestingly, studies show, too, that multitasking really is a myth, and it leads to that, you know, so think of it this way. I often talk to clients about it like this. You know, it's kind of like daily we've got two jars that we're pouring into. You know, we've got a burnout jar, and we've got a resilience jar. And those little things, those little habits, like I was mentioning, that we're doing over time is kind of pouring into that burnout jar. Now you can counter it with other resilience tools, you know, with going outside and getting some fresh air, taking a break, you know, getting some movement, getting high quality sleep, doing some mindfulness, you know, there's ways to counter that too. But yeah, it sounds like your wife's a great accountability partner too, and she kind of keeps you in check. My husband does the same thing because I'm prone to workaholism and that's part of my story and my burnout too. And he's a doctor and he's been so blessed that like when he's off work, he's off work. There is no one ever coming after him. And so I envy that at times, I guess, that he has that. It's wonderful. But, you know, I fight that same tendency of like, I'll just respond to one more message, one more email. And he'll say, really, do you need to do that right now, too? So it's great that we both have two people in our lives that can keep us in check.
For sure. No, I completely agree, because one of the other things I was gonna comment on, too, is that I can absolutely imagine there are so many people out there that are doing things like what I do, where I'm nonstop, I'm always emailing or texting, but they're not doing the resiliency things like I know I do. Mm-hmm. You know, we have a cottage up north, and anyone that knows me, including clients, know, hey, if it's any time between about mid-May to about early to mid-October, like I don't work many Fridays. I never work a Friday in the summer. If you need to talk to me on a Friday for whatever reason, it's fine. Just text me and we'll coordinate something, but you know that I'm going to be up north. So it's just, that's my resiliency. So, you know, that's one of the things mm-hmm. I do over and over. I know this, and everyone that knows me knows this, but I also know there's a lot of people out there that don't do things like that, that don't take time away. Yeah, and I still do some things while I'm up there, but I only really do things while I'm up there when I'm up there for an extended period. So like this summer, we went up there for 10 days over the 4th of July and over Labor Day. Well, I took calls and did some Zooms in the morning. Well, again, If someone is doing that but also working the majority of the day, is that resiliency really helping them? Is that really like, or is that just leading, is that continuing to fill the burnout bucket?
Yeah, that's such a great point. And it's awesome that you have that boundary in place, because let's call it what it is. I mean, it's a healthy boundary that you set for yourself and your family, that Fridays are important for you and to you, and that's precious time. And so you don't work on Fridays. If it's urgent, they can text you. And that's just that the key, I think, for a lot of people is figuring out what your healthy boundaries are and then implementing them too. But you're right, back to your point, it's like, you know, there's this also a misconception too, that, you know, just self-care and taking a vacation will solve, you know, your burnout problems. And again, it's, you know, it's just doing these things one off here and there. It's really impossible to prevent burnout. You know, it's those day in and day out little teeny micro habits that you do that really can prevent the overwhelm and burnout.
For sure. No, I can't agree with you more. I mean, you know, I know, like with my role and what I do, you know, as an entrepreneur or a business owner, you know, we wear a lot of hats. So, I mean, we do a lot of things, and you have to be a good multitasker. If you're not, you are not going to be successful in business, more than likely, unless you're delegating pretty quick. So, you know, there's so many things that when you're an entrepreneur, when you're a business owner, when you're an executive, you need to make sure that you're taking time for yourself. Like you said, you're taking mm-hmm. time for your family. You're setting specific boundaries. And if you're not, I think you are headed closer to burnout than, you know, being able to maintain or have balance. So help me, you know, one of the next things I want to talk through with you is talk to me a little bit about how, you know, share a story about how health collapse ties to stress. I mean, we've talked a little bit about the, you know, how it can be you filling the burnout bucket versus, you know, filling the resiliency. But, you know, help our listeners understand why this is so important and why there's a lot of people out there that just aren't doing as good of a job as they should be managing it.
Yeah, definitely. And one last thought to what you said, you know, I think for entrepreneurs, there's this fine line between running a business and, if we're not careful, the business running you, you know, where you feel like you're constantly working, you know, 24/7. And the reality is we're not a 7-Eleven, but it feels that way at times if you're not careful and you don't have those healthy boundaries in place. But, you know, I know we were chatting a little bit before we hit record, you know, and it's just interesting to me that, you know, even before the pandemic hit and it's, you know, of course, exacerbated burnout and stress and all of that, the World Health Organization had dubbed stress the health epidemic of the 21st century. So it was already out of control, leading to just so many different things that we don't want, from, you know, high blood pressure and heart disease to type 2 diabetes. It really dysregulates your immune system, which we don't want right now. You know, right. It can tear up your mental health. It can lead to disease and cancer and all kinds of stuff too. And, you know, chronic stress is really just one of those things that it permeates all areas of your life. It doesn't just, you know, aggravate your work. You know, it bleeds into your relationships and your outlook and your joy and all those things too. And so for me, you know, my story of hitting burnout really happened years ago after my father died. And so it was really before he was diagnosed with cancer really early at 49, a really aggressive prostate cancer. And they gave him a 50-50 shot then. And so it was very advanced. And it was a devastating diagnosis for all of us. He was awesome, super amazing dad. We were close. He was kind of a friend and a mentor and a guide and a coach, all the things too. So at that point, that's really when I got really deep into health and wellness and trying to figure out, you know, what is causing the rise in all of these diseases that we're seeing. And a lot of it really links back to chronic stress. And so together he and I revamped our lifestyles and diets and really just began eating healthier and having a much healthier life overall. And looking back, I really believe it helped to prolong his life. And I'm so thankful for that. And so I made all these great changes, and then he died. And it's like I just didn't want to feel all the feelings that I was feeling. And I reverted back to my old ways of coping with things. And that for me turned into back, you know, throwing myself back into workaholism. And I think, you know, that's something that a lot of people can relate to. You know, when we're feeling things and we're going through hard things in life, you know, that you don't necessarily want to fully feel, it's really tempting and it's really easy to turn to things like food, you know, alcoholism, or too much alcohol, shopping, you know, Netflix. I mean, that can get out of control and turn into a, you know, all day binge fest if you're not careful, workaholism. And so for me, workaholism was the bad habit that I really slipped back into. And so I started, you know, working again till like 1 and 2 o'clock in the morning. I wasn't eating consistently. I wasn't working out consistently. I just wasn't taking care of myself. And for me, that ended in a total health collapse. So I ended up going to the Caribbean and coming back nearly bedridden for about a year and a half. And so there was a whole slew of things that happened for me. And it took years, really, for me to pick up the pieces. Now, my story is a little more extreme. But again, as I stated, you know, there's so many things that if we're not careful, you know, like I mentioned, you know, heart disease, type 2 diabetes, all that stuff, high blood pressure, you know, that chronic stress can really cause if we're not paying attention kind of to the warning signs. And my heart really is that, you know, my story is extreme. And I love talking about this subject. I'm so passionate about it because I really don't want people to have to go through the dark period that I went through in my life because of, you know, some of my choices and the workaholism.
Yeah, no, and I think that's such an important point that you made. You know, interestingly enough, I will tell you that some of my kind of wake up moment or the aha moment, realizing that we don't know how long we have, and you know, to spend more time with family and create living memories and those types of things, was actually when my dad passed away. And my dad actually passed away of cancer as well. He had pancreatic cancer and was in his mid-60s. So also young, not as young as your dad, but also young. So I will tell you, that's it. I give you a lot of credit personally, April, because a lot of people don't always recognize when, you know, when that moment in their life happens to where they need to make changes and they need to spend more time with family and make adjustments so they can be here over the long run. And it sounds like you've done a lot, and it, you know, a lot happened to you. Obviously your story was very, very serious, but I mean, you've done a lot of things to make sure that you are going to live a comfortable and well-balanced life. And that's good. And I think it's great that you do have a husband that puts you in check at times and says, hey, wait, hold on. You have to send that email right now because you know you're prone to workaholism.
Right. Yeah. And it's so right that for a lot of people, it's that wake-up call that we just don't think about. You know, I think we just naturally kind of feel like we're invincible and we're going to live forever until life hits you and something happens. And that's when you really kind of realize, okay, you can become a victim or you can become a victor to whatever you're going through in life. You can let it consume you and overtake you, or you can rise above it and grow through it and become a better person. And you, like you said, you really realize that this life is precious. You know, and if we're not careful, it can pass us by in a blink of an eye.
Yeah, no, I couldn't agree more. Couldn't agree more with you. I think that's great. I think that that's really important for some of our listeners that maybe don't take stress as seriously as they should, or don't take work-life balance as seriously as they could. Let me kind of ask you, you know, this is, because I think this is important, and I'm going to kind of intertwine these last two things that I want to touch on before we start wrapping up for today. But so one, you know, some of the tall tale signs that that we're experiencing in, you know, in stress on a negative basis, you know, what are they, and how can stress affect sleep and energy and mood and behavior, and kind of intertwine those and how that can negatively, or you can turn that into a positive and a motivator to take that and kind of turn it around. Like, I just want to kind of get your input on that.
Yeah, so I have a lot of thoughts on that. And so I would say first, well, let's just even define what stress is, because there's good stress and there's bad stress. And, you know, the negative stress is really, it's emotional unease. And the thing with it is it varies based on our perception. So it's why two people can have completely different reactions to the exact same stressor. So think of traffic. We've all been there. You're headed somewhere really important and wham, traffic stopped and you're not going anywhere. Yeah. Person A can freak out, you know, bang on the steering wheel, yell, have a massive stress response, you know, and causing all of these things to happen physiologically. Person B can say, oh my gosh, this is stressful, and choose to do deep breathing instead, can listen to your podcast, Nick, you know, like they can call their mom, you know, there's a lot of different options. And so the really key point that I want listeners to take away, if you don't take anything away from this whole conversation, it's this, is that studies have shown it's not the stressors in our lives that are so dangerous and toxic to our health, but it's our perception of them. So the key is learning to respond to stressors in a way that doesn't damage and destroy our health. Because, you know, again, stress is part of the survival mechanism. It's normal. It's our body's internal alarm system that's protecting us from harm. And it's really the thoughts and emotions that can activate that massive stress response in our body. Of course, triggering the fight, flight, or freeze response and all of those other things too. So the thing with, you know, with stress, signs to look out for, well, first, you know, stress shows up in everybody differently. So we're all so individualized. But some things to kind of watch out for is, you know, if you're mentally and physically exhausted all the time, you know, you feel cynical about work, you know, you're dreading it, that can be a sign. You feel like you have no time for yourself, you're feeling irritable, you're short-tempered, you're anxious, you're feeling really overwhelmed. You know, friends and family, you're hearing from them that, you know, they feel like you're always working. You know, you're working through lunch, weekends, vacations. And then there's physical signs too. There's a lot of physical signs. We touched on a few with like high blood pressure, you know, your immune system's weakened. There's some mental health issues too, but headaches and insomnia can be really big signs of too much stress in your life. Chronic pain is a big one too, that really revs up when the stress response is higher, as do headaches. And of course, eating, you know, eating can and drinking can change too. So some people will find when they're really stressed, they'll eat less. But many people will find that, you know, they're more prone to eating more, or the cravings for all the salty, sugary, high fat stuff. Like, you never crave carrots and broccoli when you're stressed out.
Right, for sure.
It just doesn't. And so, you know, the key is really just kind of listening to your body daily. And one thing that I always tell clients is, do at least one check-in a day with yourself, you know, for 30 seconds, and just ask yourself, what do I need today to thrive? And the cool thing is, your body will tell you. It might be like, okay, we need to slow it down. It's been nonstop all day. Let's take a quick walk around the block. Or I'm dehydrated. You know, I need some fluid, whatever it is. You know, and just be mindful of what you need, because it's going to change day to day. And the key is just being aware of how you're treating your body. You know, are you treating it like, you know, a car that's out of alignment, where you're driving and driving and driving and you're refusing to look at the engine light, you know, and take it in. And instead, you know, of course, over time, it'll tear up your suspension and the tires and the whole car, and it can lead to a breakdown. And the body's much like that. So it's really key to just check in with yourself. And it's so easy to do, to just take 30 seconds and say, what do I need today?
You know,
I'll do my best.
And I also think a big thing, and I know this is how I am, especially because I am a go, go, go and doing multiple things. I think it's very important that, you know, like you said, a lot of everyone's individualized, but I think it's very important that people find what works for them. Meaning, let's say that they take 10 or 15 minutes every day, whether it's the beginning of the day or the end of the day or in the middle of the day, and do some mindfulness or deep breathing. Whether it's, you know what, they're going to talk to one of their friends or their parent or, you know, anything like that. I think once you get into that routine or that habit, it becomes a lot easier. I mean, you know, I look at it as they say a habit takes at least a week or two to form. So whatever works. And because I think some things are easier for others to do. And you know, we don't want everyone to stress about what to do to reduce stress.
Right. Exactly. 100%. I know you're right. Everybody's different. So I have clients that like love meditation. I have one, she's hilarious, that she like, well, she's multitask. And I think it's a great example of multitasking, but she likes to take baths in the evening. It helps with her inflammation levels. She has a lot of chronic pain and some autoimmune issues. And she meditates while she's in the bath. And she just jokes that she wishes she could stay in there all day because she feels so great. But like, that would not work for most of my other clients. You know, they don't have that kind of time. They don't like baths. Some of them like meditation. Some of them don't. And so the key is finding, like we were talking about in the beginning, those resilience tools that work for you. And, you know, some of the basic things are, you know, high quality sleep. Again, it's making movement, you know, a priority. It's just getting some form of movement daily. It doesn't have to be, you know, CrossFit and running if that's not your thing. I mean, you can do yoga, you can do stretching, you just take a walk around the block. I mean, any movement has tremendous benefits to the body. You know, the healthy boundaries, like we were talking about, taking breaks, actually taking your breaks and being intentional to block that time off in your schedule, you know, a few times a day, and taking your lunch break instead of working through the lunch break, listening to your body, you know, spending time in nature. There's so much studies that are coming out here the last few years on nature, and it's called rewilding and getting out in nature. And there's doctors literally around the globe that are prescribing nature therapy for people because there's so much benefit just being outside for just 15 minutes, 20 minutes, and soaking in, you know, the sounds and the sights and the smells and the vitamin D, you know, and putting away your device for that time and just being aware of your surroundings. Of course, self-care practices that work for you too. And then you touched on a big one that's really, really connected to longevity. There's lots of long-term studies on that. That's social connection, because we're wired for community. And we've become so much more isolated with, you know, the rise and of all the technology apps and devices that we have. And we've been more isolated than ever. And it, studies actually show that when you're with another person, your energy can mirror them and help to regulate your nervous system. It's really fascinating in a way that it doesn't happen virtually. So right now we're not going to be able to do that in the method that we're chatting. But if I was sitting across from you, our bodies would literally be regulating each other. It's super cool. And so making sure that you've got some form of community and connection and, you know, creativity and fun. That's a big one I talk to clients about often. I see is that people that are the burnout and stressed out and at the end of their rope, the big thing they're often missing is fun. They're just working 24/7 and they've lost track of the things that they enjoy doing. And it's interesting. I ask clients that often, you know, what do you like to do for fun? And most of them look at me like I have four heads. They have no, like, they can't even answer me. They're like, well, I go to the gym. And I'm like, that doesn't count. That's good. That's great self-care, but that's not fun. Well, I don't know, you know, but the interesting thing is, and I challenge you to go do it. You ask any child what they like to do for fun and they will rattle off like 15 things. You know, they don't even hesitate. I like to play with my trucks and I go outside and I like to do this and I play baseball and blah, blah, blah. And they'll just tell you. But as adults, you know, we lose track of those things that set our souls on fire, that are fun, that, you know, just pour into just making us feel alive, to feel created and connected and all of those things. So it's really important to make time for, you know, pausing. And in that pausing, I talk about that often, that there's power in pausing, and that pausing is the antidote to burnout. It's slowing down, it's resting, you know, and it's finding things that you enjoy doing.
Yeah, I think that's all those points you just made are key. Is like you just made the last one, finding things that you enjoy doing. I do think us as adults lose track of that. I really do. Especially, you know, depending on the age of your kids, and you tend to interact with, you know, kids' parents, you know, more than sometimes some of your own friends and that kind of thing. So, you know, just being mindful of making sure you do have things that you do for yourself and things you do that you enjoy. And I think that's so important. Yeah. So I couldn't agree more with that. So, you know, April, I really appreciate your insight and everything that you've talked about while you've been on here, because I think it's so important in today's world, with as demanding as certain jobs and careers are, that everyone needs to know that they're not alone, and that you need to make sure you're being mindful and doing things that are going to help counteract with that filling the bucket of burnout, because it's so much more common nowadays than it was 5, 10 years ago even. So it's so important.
And I see often with the high achievers, the big one that they miss is sleep. That's, you know, that's the first thing I talk to most people about. Of course, how are your stress levels? And we look for the, you know, the hidden stressors and those sort of things. But sleep is a big one. I mean, you can do everything else right, and if your sleep is off, you're not getting enough high quality sleep, it's gonna affect all areas of your life. It really is a superpower to feeling your best inside and out, and it's first making that a priority. And I've talked to so many high achievers that just you know, they have to get over that obstacle first. You know, it's like we've all heard those things since we were kids. You know, you snooze, you lose. You know, I'll sleep when I'm dead. That sort of thing too. But that's a huge one that will really catch up with you if you're not getting the 7 to 9 quality hours of sleep a night. Because there's, again, this misconception that, oh, you're sleeping and the body's not doing anything. When in fact, the body and some, the brain in some areas are even more active during REM sleep than you are when you're awake. And so it's repairing DNA. It's wiping memories and proteins in the brain that are linked to cognitive diseases. It's boosting your immune system. It's lowering your inflammation. It's the body is doing so many incredible things at night. But again, it's got to be something that you are willing to make a priority and set some healthy boundaries too around getting that high quality sleep.
Yeah, that's definitely something. I mean, I get myself personally, I get a good amount of sleep. I mean, I'm usually around 7 hours ish. My problem is I don't get enough deeper REM sleep. I'm a lighter sleeper. So like I've been trying to figure out personally, like how do I increase my REM or my deep sleep? Because I know that's why I don't feel rested all the time. That's why I feel tired.
Yeah. And it might tie into the multitasking, and some of it might just be that you need to pour more things into your resilience jar too in that. But yeah, that's great that you know kind of the key too, knowing your sweet spot too, because it's everybody's different. So clients that, you know, really thrive on 7 hours, and I have others that need more like 9 hours, and there'll be different seasons too, where maybe 7 is where you thrive now, but when stress levels increase, you might find, okay, I need 8, and that's okay. And again, listening to your body and giving yourself a little bit more. It's a funny stat, but when I was researching sleep recently, I was looking up, you know, athletes and CEOs, because sleep is actually a really hot topic right now among a lot of CEOs and athletes across the board. You know, and studies have shown way back to a study back in Stanford in the early 2000s that it's a massive way to increase your performance. It's a really cool study. I know we don't have time to get into it, but I could geek out on that too. But you know, you're seeing so many people make that a priority, and when they're doing it, they're improving all areas of their life and their game and showing up so much better. And it's funny, LeBron James actually sleeps like 12 hours a night, and then he takes naps on top of it too. But sleep is one of those things that he's openly talked about as one of his superpowers for, you know, performing the way that he does in basketball.
Wow, I didn't even know that. I didn't know he slept that much, and that was a big thing for him.
He does. Yeah, that's why people often joke that if he's not playing basketball, he's sleeping.
That's so funny. Huh. Wow, okay, well, I learned something new today, and I'm a big basketball fan, so.
Nice, likewise.
Yeah, well, thank you for sharing that, because now I know something that I didn't know before, but hey, listen, April, I really appreciate your time. This has been very good information. Let me ask you, if any of our listeners wanted to get in touch with you, wanted to learn more about different areas that you're talking to your clients about managing stress, what's the best way to do that?
Yeah, they can connect with me on my website at aprillikens.com or on LinkedIn. I'm all over LinkedIn too as well. And then I have a new free guide called 15 Ways to Say Goodbye to Chronic Stress that really goes deeply into a lot of different ways that you can create these resilience tools for your life too. And so I know we didn't get to touch on a lot of those today, but it's more practical steps on, you know, how to actually lower your stress levels in your life so that you can feel, you know, more joy and just live a life that you love too. And for listeners too, if you're struggling with stress and balance and sleep and just not sure where to start, feel free to set up a discovery call with me too. That's where we can talk a little bit more about what's happening and where maybe those hidden stressors are and what the next steps might be as well. And again, you can just find me on aprillikens.com. But reach out too. If anything resonated, you enjoyed what Nick and I were talking about today, it's always great to hear from listeners and to say hi. Don't be shy.
Well, I appreciate that. I know our listeners do as well, and I think that's great. I hope some of them take advantage of it and reach out to you and can check out your website and be able to get some guidance on the health and stress side of things. So
thanks so much, Nick.
Hey, yeah, no, thank you, April. I appreciate your time as well, and you've been great. And I want to thank our listeners for another episode of the Inspired Business Leaders Podcast. Hope everyone has a great day, and we will talk to you very soon.
Thank you for listening to the Inspired Business Leaders Podcast, brought to you by Inspire Wealth. To learn more about the topics mentioned on today's show or to listen to past episodes, visit www.inspiredbusinessleaderspodcast.com. Thanks again for tuning in, and we'll catch you in the next episode.